Welcome to the weekly Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, brought to you on Lakes Country 104.1 all season long. Hosted by Jason Sheehan and Ed Gakely as they talk to different guests each week. Tune in to hear what's biting, how to catch them, and great stories from the lake. Sponsored by the Pines of Cabotogama. They can't wait to see you on the lake. So let's jump into it.
Good morning, Lake Cabotogama and Voyageurs National Park. This is Ed Gakely and Jason Sheehan from the Pines of Cabotogama, and this is the Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report. How's it going today, Jason?
Oh, lovely, Ed. It's a transition time here in the season, moving from August into September. Things get a little bit more quiet around here, which is a nice, you know, it's a nice transition. It's time to start some projects and, you know, start getting some things around the resort done that during the busy season with all of our wonderful guests, we're not able to get done otherwise.
Yeah, you know, I was coming into the States, and I couldn't believe how many cars and people were leaving with boats and trailers, and you can kind of see the it's happening. Everyone's leaving, they're heading home, they're packing up their cabins. I think that Labor Day weekend is a big weekend for that, but we'll start seeing less boats on the water, and, you know, we'll start, but that fall fishing will start lighting up, so we will see people coming up for that as well.
Fall fishing's coming up, and, you know, we're, you know, looking for that change in demographic at our resort. It's more families with kids that aren't in school and some retired folks coming up and couples and things like that. So it's a more relaxed, quiet environment up here.
For sure. And, you know, especially today with this wind and the weather changing, I was standing outside my house last night dealing with my tomato plants, and that rain started, and I almost thought it was snow at first because it was so cold. It was light, wispy, and then we got hit with a little bit of a storm, but colder, definitely colder this morning, and down to 41 tomorrow. So that's going to, when we talk about fish being in transition, they're really going to start to move now, because once that cold water heads, they're going to try to find some place where they can feed and get ready for winter.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good segue to my interview with Trent, Ed, you know, he talks about, you know, we've been fishing with leeches and worms and mixing it up with some spinners. And it's looking ahead to the transition to jig and a minnow, more of a fall style approach to fishing. And, you know, he talks about that's coming. And then wouldn't you know it, yesterday I received a text from him. And here, I'll read you the text. He says, "Funny, we were just talking about the jig and minnow bite starting back up. Today, Wiley and I both killed it on cab with jigs and minnows." So it's happening. It's switching over.
For sure. I was telling you before we hit record here, I went fishing with my dad. Well, we did fish Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Saturday, we did two different bays. We did Sane Bay, which is on one part of Rainy Lake, and then we went in and had brunch, and then we went up to the North Arm after brunch and went deeper and caught, you know, 26, 27, 28 inch walleyes, all big walleyes. Sunday, we had a tough day on two different lakes in Canada, on Rainy Lake and up in Big Sawbill, and didn't see a lot of activity at all. A lot of algae bloom, which really does affect those fish. And then on Monday, we went into Voyageurs National Park, dropped in at the park, and then went into Black Bay, and we limited on crappie in 2 hours. So it's very interesting, and that was in 4 to 7 feet of water. So in the deeper waters, we didn't have the luck. When we got into the shallows, maybe it was warmer there, but they were definitely much more active in the shallows. And we were trolling with beetle spins and bottom bouncers, but when we stopped with the jig and a minnow, once we got on top of them, the jig and a minnow was super effective too. So he's spot on there. They move from those crawlers and leeches into the jig in the middle and that vertical jigging, and I think they just stack up more, so there's more fish, and you're able to get into the pile more, or easier, basically.
Yeah, so true.
How was your weekend at the camp here at Pines of Cabotogama?
Oh, it's fantastic. Had a couple of tours go out. I got to tell you, the consensus that I'm hearing from everyone, this was the busiest Labor Day, just on cab in general, that I think anybody's seen in many, many years. I was up at Kettle Falls with a tour group around 11:30, and by, I want to say, 12:15, you had six folks sitting waiting for spots at the dock. I mean, it was, you know, doing a little pattern out in the middle of the marina waiting for availability. So it was jam-packed.
You know,
weekend.
And we saw the same thing. So we drove up to Crow Rock, which is still on Rainy Lake, but up the 502, about 15, 20 minutes. And Dave Peterson's been fishing there for 45 years, and there was no spots to park our boat. Luckily, one boat got left, and we were able to put the trailer in. Otherwise, we were going to have to leave because there was nowhere to park. And Dave said he'd never seen that in 45 years. And we did see especially in Voyageur National Park, from the landing on Monday. Packed parking lot, boats down each side of the lane, trailers, all kinds of action. And we fished very close to the park, actually, just outside of it, basically. And the activity was fast and furious all day long. There's so many boats coming and going. So, I mean, that's good to see that people are getting out and enjoying it, but it makes for a different, little bit of a more of a challenge on the boat to find your spot and to kind of stay out of that those traffic lanes, right?
Yeah, it gets me excited for, some of our local businesses, whether it be the Rocky Ledge, Kexco, folks going out and getting food when they're out here visiting. So it's great to see. Makes us very happy.
Hey, full lots means full businesses, and that's good for the economy, and that's what we want, right? It's a lot of work that goes into these lodges, and you know it is, I think, your fourth or fifth year now. You're every day, all day, but the business is what keeps it going, and the love of the nature and what you do. Mm-hmm. Providing that service is great, but there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes too to make that happen.
Yeah, truly.
Awesome.
A lot of work, and it's happy, and we're happy to see all the traffic and all the folks coming up to visit.
So good to see, and we do appreciate that. Hey, so you close here in October. So what's the wind down look like? What do your projects look like? Do you start to cut staff, or do you keep your staff on right till the very end?
Yeah, we keep our staff till the very end. We've got, a little bit of staff that drops off here the tail end of September.
Yep.
But just hours reduced. We just reduce our operating hours a little bit and then get some of our winter prep projects done and some of the things that we've put off until, okay, we'll replace that, piece of deck board or what have you, do a dock repair. We'll get those things done now.
Get everything ready before winter, and then you're ready to roll in spring, right?
Yep. Last checkout will be October 6th, and then the resort's shut down on the 12th.
And that's it. And then you'll head back to the middle of Minnesota and get ready, and then you come back in. Do you come back in April or May? When do you arrive in spring?
I'll come back up in the middle of April and start getting some interior projects done, and then staff start showing up the first week of May.
Awesome. So we'll be doing this report until the end of September here. Looking forward to hearing about this fall fishing. And Trent Schneider today with Jason Sheehan to Pine Captoga. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the show today. Anything you want to say before we jump into it, Jason?
No, let's jump into it, Ed.
Awesome. Thanks. And we'll jump into it, and we'll let you guys listen to this awesome interview with Jason Sheehan and Trent Schneider.
This week's Cabotogama Lake Fishing Report is brought to you by the Pines of Cabotogama, your getaway to adventure in Voyageurs National Park. With 30 full hookup RV sites, including clifftop views, 60 feet above the lake, you'll wake up to nature's best. Rent a Garmin-equipped boat or golf cart and hit the water from their private marina. Complete with electric hookups and fuel service. Adventure begins at thepinescab.com.
You're invited to the Rocky Ledge on Lake Cabotogama. Great homemade meals for lunch and dinner. The Rocky Ledge is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. with bar hours open later. Indulge on amazing homemade pizzas, fresh burgers, apps, sandwiches, and more. Call 218-875-3481 to inquire about daily specials. The staff and management look forward to serving you all summer long at the Rocky Ledge. Just minutes past the giant wall and beautiful Lake Cabotogama, the Rocky Ledge.
Locally owned and operated, GNS Prop Shop Welding and Marine Repair specializes in prop and marine repair with expert precision and unmatched service. They take pride in high quality work and a commitment to getting it done right the first time, because your time on the water matters. And they're Minnesota's only Shero Marine Propeller dealer. From welding to full marine repair, they do it all with care, quality, and attention to detail. GNS Prop Shop Welding and Marine Repair, International Falls, and servicing Lake Cabotogama. Dependable repairs done right. Stop in or call today and check them out on Facebook. Kex Cove on beautiful Lake Cabotogama in Voyageurs National Park has everything you need for your Northwoods escape. Whether you're out for a scenic drive or staying a while, they've got cozy cabins and boats ready to launch your next adventure. Just minutes from International Falls and well worth the trip. And it's official, the Broaster Chicken is genuine, hot, and fresh. Served Thursday through Sunday, 5 to 9. And don't miss their famous smoked brisket sandwiches. Kex Cove, everything you need and so much more. Kex Cove, Lake Cabotogama.
Trent, it's great to have you back. I mean, this is our third time this
season. I feel blessed.
Yeah,
it's been fun. Been a fast season, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone by quick. Here we are sitting on the 1st of September.
Yep.
Looking at September in front of us and some fall fishing.
Yep, and a beautiful sunset to go with the first day of September, isn't it?
Yeah, here we are sitting on the
around the community fire pit here at the Pines, and it's a nice calm lake flat out there right now.
Yeah, beautiful. Had a great weekend. A lot of boaters on the water this year.
Oh man, it was this weekend. Past weekend was very busy.
Yeah,
a lot of traffic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Back on May 28th, we were talking about early season patterns. Walleyes were shallow, leeches, jigs, and then on July 29th, when we met our second time, you walked us through midsummer fishing and some hatches and deeper transitions and Stanford versatile. Looking back, how did all that turn out? How did those predictions turn out? Any surprises?
No, I think this is one of the Capitogama's better years for numbers of walleye and quality fish. We've had a really good year. I think pretty much the patterns have stayed what we kind of anticipated for the spring bite all the way till mid-July, and then switched over a little bit, you know, more of the reefs, the early seasons, the bays and pitching shallow and fishing shallow, and then summertime happened, and of course they did exactly what we kind of anticipated they would do, catching a lot of fish on the reefs and the rock points and that sort of thing. And now we're moving into the fall area, which the minnow bite starts to turn back on again. We get more of the minnow, jigging a minnow back. We're still doing a lot of spinners. Some Lindy rigging still going on, but I'm not getting into that as much as I probably am the spinners and the jigging and the minnows and that sort of thing. And with a spinner bite, we're working, given the opportunities, we work the weed lines still, but we're really finding them more along the break lines.
And so as the temps are starting to cool, what should we be looking forward to here in September and October?
So I think you're typically over the years, and I'm seeing it already, is the bite's going to start switching to a jig and a minnow bite. Mm-hmm. The shiners start to become active again, and we start using shiners. And most of the time it becomes a steadier bite with the jig and the minnow. So, and that goes really all the way through October, which is a little refreshing because, you know, right now when you go out, you're bringing pretty much a buffet with you when you go out. So we're bringing leeches, we're bringing crawlers, we're bringing minnows, and we're wanting to figure out what they're triggering on. And that's typical through the whole dog days of summer. Now, when we get into the fall, the temperatures start to drop, the water temperatures are dropping, and as that goes on, it seems like the minnow bite and the shiner bite starts to become a little bit, you know, a better bite. So we'll put jigs on, and we'll fish the rock points off of islands, basically closer to the bays that are coming in. We're looking for rock points off of bays or rock piles in bays, along that transition where they go from the deeper water or off of the reefs and they move into the bays where the feeding is a little bit more active. We'll pull spinners with crawlers along those lines, but probably within the next couple of weeks, you're going to see it completely switch over to just a jig and a minnow. That's been what it's been over years of doing this. I think you're going to assume we're going to probably be doing the same thing. I'm actually, the walleyes that I've been cleaning, I've been finding minnows in them still. So, or back to minnows in them again. So we're starting to get a little bit of that. Once, you know, the bug hatches are going to be pretty much over with now. Obviously, we've talked a little bit earlier. The lake is turning over. The algae bloom per se is coming up to the top. When that happens, we get a good crawler bite that's still going on pretty strong, pulling spinners or lindies with crawlers on them. And then that'll eventually weed through, and you're going to find your minnows are going to be back on target again.
You mentioned as the lake temps cool down, how much of the shorter days, the shorter daylight time we have, has effect on the bite?
So I think, you know, looking at it again, I'm not a biologist, so I'm not sure how that affects a lot of things, other than a lot more darkness produces a lot more cooler temperatures. Mm-hmm. And I think when that happens, I think the bite becomes a little bit more aggressive during the daylight hours. And, you know, Jason, also, this lake is not a night lake. The bite really stops when it gets dark. So these fish probably have to feed a little bit more aggressive with shorter hours of daylight. So I think that helps in the fall when that goes on, because I think what happens is these fish go on a little bit more of a feeding frenzy, because at night, at least on our lake, the bite stops. Now, are they feeding through the night? Possibly, but I'll tell you what, you can't, it's a lot harder to get fish at night on this lake for fishermen anyway. So maybe they're still out there feeding, but it seems like the daylight hours are better. And when that happens, the temperatures drop, the bite becomes a little more aggressive. And I think because of the shortness of hours, the fish become a little bit more aggressive too.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of fall fishing on cap?
I have several things. Number one, I love the cooler temperatures. I'm a cool boy. I like it cool. I don't like it ice cold, but I like it cool. The fact that I can confidently go out there and say all we're going to really need is going to be minnows instead of bringing my lunch pail with every item in there. I can bring minnows out there and jig, and we're going to do well doing it like that. And then I also really like the fact that we can fish other fish. We can, you know, the crappie bite really starts to go. We're mm-hmm. doing really well with crappie now. And the crappie is just, that's just going to get better as time goes on. So you got your crappie bite, you got your walleye bite, you got your perch bite. We're still getting some good perch. So I think just in general, you got a little bit more to offer customers when you're out on the water, and the feeding is like you said, pretty steady between now and the end of the fishing season for us anyway, which is middle of October. Up here it gets pretty cold after that. We just got a variety, and that's what I enjoy the most about the fall fishing.
You had mentioned cab's been maybe my words, not your words, but consistent this year. It's been a pretty good year for fishing, one of the more productive years. Do you expect that to carry through into the fall season this year?
I do, yeah. The quality of fish that we're getting is still really nice 15, 16, 17 inch walleyes out of here. And even as of yesterday, we were still bringing in limits that are doing that. I don't see any change in that. We've just had a really good good year class that we're catching right now. And we're getting a lot of smalls too. So I think years to come, I think Cabotogama is in good shape.
It's great to hear.
So, I think it's going to be a fantastic finish to what we started, which was maybe one of our better years in probably the last 10 years. And every year's been good, but this year's been exceptional.
Trent, when the off season comes, which we're coming up on here, how do you spend your downtime?
So my addiction to hunting ducks would be probably what I do a lot of. A lot of my guide trip money goes to fund my duck hunting trip. So,
right.
Which my wife isn't as thrilled as I am about, but she goes along with it. She does some hunting with me. So I do a lot of that. I spend a lot of time with the grandkids, and just, you know, the season ends in September for me. The last couple days of September, I close down the cabin and get ready to head home. And I have about a 2 week stint where I'm ready for a break. And then after that, fishing could open right back up and I'd be just as thrilled to death to start fishing again, other than not being able to feel your fingers in November and October. But I like to do a little hunting and doing a little chasing around like that. But that's basically my off season.
All right. Are you much of an ice fisherman? Do you go ice fishing?
You know, Jason, I used to love to ice fish. And the older I get, the more I realize I just don't like that cold, cold weather. So I grew up ice fishing now I look at it and go back and go, gosh, those were great days. I don't want to relive them. I'm not much of an ice fisherman. I've done a little bit of it, not a lot. Maybe once or twice a year, you'll get me out on the lake and do a little ice fishing. And I'm going to be in a pretty cozy ice house for that.
I'm with you on that. I can ice fish for a few hours. I can't do the all day ice fishing.
I don't know. The funniest story is I was watching the news here. This was probably 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the news channel, and they had whenever we hosted the Super Bowl. So I have no idea how long ago that was. But whenever we were hosting the Super Bowl, they had a couple of Texans that were up here during the Super Bowl. And you remember that's in January, and everybody is freezing to death up here. And they interviewed these two Texans that were sitting out on the lake, and they had these big old parkas. You remember those parkas with the big hoods that you could tie, so just your face is sticking through? And they said, what do you think of it? The interviewer was asking the questions. What do you think about this up here in Minnesota? All you Texans coming up here in this cold weather, and you're out on the ice fishing. What do you think about it up here? And the one Texan looked into the camera and he says, well, he says, as all I can figure out is you people up here in Minnesota must be just starving for entertainment, because this doesn't seem fun at all. Well, it was kind of a humorous thing. I just looked at that and thought, you know what? We must be starving for attention. If we're going to drive out and drill a little hole in the ice and start fishing, we just can't get enough of it, can we?
Well, that's great. Well, Trent, where can people reach you if they want to get out on the water with you?
You can go to our website, which is catchfishhere.com, catchfishhere.com, or you can call me on my cell phone at 218-839-6844.
Well, thanks, Trent, all season for meeting with us and sharing your insight and your wisdom. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too, Jason. You guys have a great end of the year, and we look forward to seeing you next spring.
Look forward to it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Trent. Well, that's a wrap on this week's Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share with fellow lake lovers. For more updates, lodging, and guided experiences, visit pinescab.com. Until next time, tight lines and be well.
That's your weekly Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, brought to you each week right here on Lakes Country 104.1 with the Pines of Cabotogama with Jason Sheehan and Ed Gakely. We look forward to seeing you on the water.